Hello, everyone, and welcome to That Pixel Life. This is episode 66, and we are recording on October 6, 2019. This week, we are going to talk some Joker. We're going to talk some news from Crystal Dynamics Avenger game, some what we've been playing action, and maybe a little what we've been watching. We're going to try to we're on a bit of a time crunch this evening, so we're going to try to keep things moving. The man with his running shoes on as we speak is Mr. Shannon Moore. Hi, Shannon.
Hello, how are you?
Oh, fine. How have you been?
Oh, you know, just on that hamster wheel of life, everything's going 100 miles an hour. So, yeah, just try not to get chewed up.
Yeah, you keep running and you keep going nowhere. It's amazing how it works.
I know, right?
But this is going to be a special episode because for the first time in what seems and feels like an eternity, all three of us are here, and joining us is Mr. Robert Steltonpool.
Yeah, man, what's up?
What's up, dude?
You know, Braves take a 2-1 lead in their series.
Yep.
Raiders
handled business with the Bears.
There you go. Georgia won and Atlanta Braves won, and the Atlanta Falcons are solidifying that they're trying to get that number one pick next year.
And we just won't talk about the Warriors or the Sharks.
Well, we won't talk about the Sharks because they're actually playing real games. But I'm not one of those people that likes to get all worked up over preseason. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, you're telling me a team lost when they were taking a million shots from like 35 feet out? Yeah, okay, sure. That's weird. Weird that didn't work.
Sounds like the Warriors to me. I mean, isn't that what they do during the season too?
Well, nah, it's more like 27, which you know, changes a lot of the numbers. But yeah, I'm just saying. But yeah, so the gang is all here this week. We have not all been on the podcast together at the same time in a long time. So hopefully y'all like that. I don't know. Maybe you were happy when I wasn't there. I don't know.
Maybe they were happy when I wasn't there. Like, can we all just get on the ER train? Let's just all do it.
Well, you know, it's going into fall. Like, we've got pumpkin spice lattes now. It's like, you know, it's
time. Can I just say right now, I hate pumpkin spice everything. The only thing that should be pumpkin spiced is my pumpkin pie. That's the way I want it. Just getting on that boat right now. Send me all your hate mail. Man, I will bathe in it.
Shannon with the hottest takes from 2005. it's good to get reach back in the train and, you know, pull some of those forward sometimes. If you go into like your local Trader Joe's these days, it's ridiculous the amount of pumpkin spice, like everything. Like, is there a market for pumpkin spice ravioli? Like, who's out there being like, you know what would make this pasta a lot better? Pumpkin. That
sounds freaking gross.
Right? But that's like everything. That's like everything that, to Shannon's point, I can get down with a pumpkin spice latte. I'm good for one or two per fall season. You know, I'm not one of these people that's like, yeah, every day I hit Starbucks and get, you know, they shorten it down to the PSL and all that. It's like, no, we're not doing that. But, yeah, when you get out there and you see a pumpkin spice, like damn near everything, it's like, I think we've gone through now, you know, we've crossed over. There's no going back, unfortunately. But, yeah, I'm looking forward more towards winter when you get, you know, peppermint flavored stuff.
Oh, like, hell yeah.
I can get down with some peppermint. Peppermint's good, but a lot better than pumpkin spice. Or I like an eggnog latte. Are you guys down with the nog? Or are you nog free?
I don't like coffee and I don't like eggnog. So
I have if you take eggnog and you put in Malibu rum into it, like, if you can't taste the rum, so like those are deadly. But that's a great holiday.
I'm gonna say adding coconut to eggnog sounds awful. It sounds awful. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying on the surface that sounds real bad. But yeah, well, you know, experimentation may be necessary. Anyway, now that we've got our holiday beverages out of the way, a little movie had come out this week. Yeah, it's been getting a little talk about some for some time, and it is The Joker with Joaquin Phoenix. I have not seen this for 100% clarity. I have not seen this movie yet. I don't know if I will. I kind of don't care. I it's weird. Like, it's weird because I like Batman. I've seen every Batman movie. I've read a bunch of the comics. I'm into the character of the Joker. But for some reason, I just can't bring myself to care about this one. And I don't really know why. I think probably because for me and Robbie, you've seen this, correct?
Yeah, saw it today.
And Shannon, have you seen it yet?
No, I have not.
Okay. So Robbie can correct me if I'm wrong. I don't see how this could ever line up with a Batman crossover, because it looks like it takes place way before Batman rolls around. And even if he nails the character, it's like, how are you ever going to work Batman into this world? And so I don't really get that. And I think that's one of the main reasons that's kind of keeping me in the non-caring bucket. But Robbie, change my mind. Make me care about this movie.
Okay. You know, I'm gonna read my tweet from earlier.
All right.
I just think my tweet says it better than I can right now. Joker is a movie that achieves what it is trying to do. In that metric, it's fantastic. Phoenix is just amazing in the role, but here's the thing. I can respect and appreciate the art while not wanting to ever see the movie again. I think some people are overreacting in their dislike, but it's a dark character accepting his fall into madness. I won't watch it again, and I think that's okay. To elaborate, I have some beef with my problems with the movie are comic book related, but which don't ultimately matter because the movie is not trying to be a comic book movie. They really could have called this movie Scott, and it could have just been about a guy named Scott who accepts his fall into insanity and accepts the fact that he is just a villainous, evil psychopath who wants to kill people, who wants to hurt people. Now, It is a very good movie. It really is. But it is dark, it is sinister, and it is disturbing at times. And
like, does it at the start of it though, do you like Joaquin Phoenix's character? Like, does it one of those things where it tries to pull the rope it up on you, like, oh no, this is a good guy, you like this guy, and then like
no.
And then it suckers you into being like, oh, you were rooting for
no, like is not the word. Like, okay. Is not the word at all. So I think one of the biggest, I promise I'll get to your answer. One of the best things I can say about this movie is the way that it portrays Gotham City and the demise of Gotham City. Like, okay, how Gotham City becomes this evil place where villains are born. It is almost like they're almost duped by their own petard in the sense that they create, like, is an evil place. Or and this is the pot. This is one of the great things about the editing and the directing of the film. All of this is from the Joker's perspective. And there are things that mess with you throughout the movie that show you that this whole thing is from the perspective of the Joker. And so, no, you don't like him. Like, he's not a likable character. He's a sympathetic character at first, but at no point in time did I feel like the movie was trying to make me be okay with,
like, empathetic with him. Or
yeah, like yeah, I don't, in no way, shape, or form did I feel like the movie's point was to make me feel bad for the Joker becoming a murderer. No, it did not feel that way at all. It was just showing how it happened. And Joaquin Phoenix, I don't know if I've ever been more sure of anything. He's going to be nominated for an Oscar. And if it wasn't for Tom Hanks probably playing the most delightful American man of all time in Mr. Rogers,
sure,
Joaquin would probably win this. Like, he would almost
Joaquin
would probably win this easily. But, you know, I still think that more people are probably going to vote for Tom Hanks.
Well, it depends. Is Steven Spielberg directing that one, or? That seems to matter. I'm just saying.
That's a fair point. Yeah. And also the Irishman.
You know,
oh, technical difficulties. Technical difficulties over.
Okay. Sorry, my mic disconnected. But I've also heard that Pacino and De Niro are incredible in Irish. So I, you know, I'll wait to see on that. But the man,
I cannot wait to cancel Netflix the day after I watch that movie. It's gonna be so great.
I do not have like major beef with this movie. I don't. My problems are just. I didn't think they needed to pull in certain characters that they pulled in. I just didn't feel the need for it. It didn't add or take away from it. But I will tell you this, Zach. I don't think we'll ever get a sequel, but they set up perfectly. They really do go out of the way to set up what you think they'll set up. Okay. And like a future encounter. And it's...
But that wouldn't make the Joker like an octogenarian at that point.
What you do you know? Mean?
Like he wouldn't be 80 years old fighting Batman.
No. I mean, because in the movie they make reference to him only being 32 years old, something like that. So they give you an age of how old he is, and they I'm not spoiling anything. Like it's in the trailers. Mm. Like there is a certain kid who is in this movie that should be in this world.
Gotcha. Whose parents die in an alleyway after a movie theater. And sure. I do just real quick. I think it's hilarious that Hollywood keeps the thing rolling of like people in their 30s playing teenagers in high school. It's like Joaquin Phoenix playing a 32 year old is pretty great. Like,
yes. Sure.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And look, man, the thing is like Phoenix, when he's on screen, which is majority of the movie, he's captivating. He is, you don't want to take your eyes off the screen. You feel tense. You feel like it is very uncomfortable. And I'll tell you this much too. The final act of this movie is the shining role. Like it's the shining moments of the movie. Like it is, it is a perfect, like I they just hit what they're going for. In that respect, I think they do a great job, but I don't want to feel that way again.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same reason why I don't watch the movie Wind River again or Whistleblower again. If you don't know what those movies are, at the end of it, there is basically rape and bad things, like really bad things occur that are just gross and disgusting. That does not happen here. But it made me feel things that I just don't feel comfortable feeling. And
yeah, I've got some horror movies that are like that where I'm like, okay. I'm kind of mad that exists in my brain now. And
Jacob's Ladder is a horror movie that I'll never watch again.
Never see the movie Megan is Missing. Never see it. Just don't. Don't even look it up. It's like, it's awful. Yeah. It's awful.
Oh, Raw. Yeah. The movie Raw. I'll never watch Raw.
Oh, a Serbian film? That's another one. That's don't. Just don't even, people, if you're listening, don't even Google it. It just, forget I said it. Like, it's awful.
Here's probably the best compliment I can give the movie is that while I don't want to watch the movie again, I 100% would love to see this Joker in a world with Batman. But the movie would have to be rated R. Like it would have to. There's no way around.
So it earns. Oh, sorry. Sorry, Shane. Go ahead.
I was just going to ask real quickly. I know there's different iterations of like Batman. You know, there's like the more gruff and violent ones. There's, you know, the old timey ones. Like what Batman would be a good like pairing for the Joker that you're seeing in this movie?
Oh, that's easy. As far as comic book, because I still don't think we've seen this movie version of the comic book version would be the New 52 Batman run with Scott Snyder and Greg Capullo. That Joker is manic, maniacal, evil, cruel. Mm-hmm. Like it, I mean, the first time you meet this Joker in that run, he literally cuts his face off so he cannot be detected anymore. So people don't know what he looks like anymore. And then he comes back a year later and because he's tired of not having his face, and he goes through Gotham PD, literally slaughters 17 different police officers just to get his face, and he paper clips his face back onto his face, like onto his head. All right. And he like it it's just like that though that Batman is probably the best to handle it, and it would fit, it would work. As far as Batman renditions on screen, I don't think we've seen one. Like, I mean, me personally, I would love to see Affleck, but I like that Batman. I like his Batman in that movie. But it doesn't fit because they've already kind of paired him with Jared Leto's. So, that's what I would want to see. And if DC's going the route that it kind of seems like they're going, and you know, I don't think we're ever going to get a sequel though. I don't think it matters. I think it's moot that, you know, this seems like a one and done thing, even though they do tease and they do show like what could come to be. The way that this movie, the movie's making a lot of money already. I'm sure everyone has seen that. But I just don't see how they pull it off. I don't see how they pull off a Batman with this Joker, unless they're just going to give me two Batman at the, you know, around the same time. So
sounds like a Frank Miller Batman might play well.
The scene, there is a scene in the movie, that I thought was going to go exactly like Joker scene in Frank Miller's Batman, on the talk show. I thought they exactly where this was going the whole time, and it's not like that at all. So I was a little bamboozled. And I will say this too, there was two or three times where the movie got me. Like I was not expecting, and I don't mean that in like, oh my gosh, he just cut that dude's throat. No, I mean like the story threw me for a loop. Like I wasn't expecting the narrative to occur that way. But the acting is great, the directing is great, the editing is great, music is great. But it's just, I'm not saying don't see it, because I saw it and I think it's fantastic. I just don't know if I can ever watch it again. And I will not rank it with other comic book movies, because I don't think it's a comic book movie. I just don't. I know that might sound stupid, but I don't consider it a comic book movie, if that makes sense.
It's more like in line with like Henry Portrait of a Serial Killer or one of those type of movies.
Yeah, like it's like a you know, a man's fallen to madness and he just so happens to become the Joker.
Gotcha.
Like, that's kind of what it feels like. But
now, how long was this movie?
Just 2 hours.
Okay, and then does it feel like, I mean, does he get to like his full descent like fast?
Yeah. No.
Okay. So like it's not like you're going through the movie and then like there's maybe like 20 minutes at the end where he just goes full crazy. Like he's already like, he's probably crazy by like halfway through the movie and he's just in his full like Joker form, or like, so
he is nuts the entire movie, but there is a certain event that happens maybe in the first act that starts to send him down the downward spiral. Like we don't see him in his, you don't see the Joker as far as like the makeup, the suit, and all that jazz until towards the end of the movie. But you don't feel that that's the only time you've seen the Joker, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. Sure. No, it does.
Yeah.
All right. Interesting.
Any other questions?
No, I mean, it's one of those things where I still just don't know if I'm going to see it.
I get it. Yeah. I wish Todd Phillips would just shut up, because I think that's a lot. I think that has a lot, not with you, but I just think a lot of people, like, you know, I agree with a lot of what Todd Phillips was saying. But I just wish he would say it just better. There's other political figures that we can agree on that may have a little nugget of truth in what they're saying, but just maybe say it a little bit better. I think this movie does exactly what they wanted it to do, but this is where we're at now, where I don't think DC is trying to make any more universes. I think they're just trying to make individual narratives, whether that lasts one movie or, you know, a trilogy like with Batman.
Which is probably a smarter call at this point, because the universe building wasn't that big of a success. Playing off that, what did you think of the Birds of Prey trailer?
Dude, I'm so excited. Like, I am. I'm just like, that looks just so much like so much fun. The same thing with Shazam. Like, I just wanted a fun movie to laugh at and see a kid who has superpowers and doesn't know how to use them. The same thing here. Harley Quinn is just a fun character, and they look like they're having a blast on screen. The only fault that I'll probably give it is that it's called Birds of Prey when it should just be called Harley Quinn. But
yeah, it didn't seem to really have it seemed like a Harley Quinn standalone movie.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious how that works, or if that just was that just the initial marketing push, you know, to get people's attention.
And I want to see Ewan McGregor play a villain. Like, I'm excited to kind of see that, you know. So.
And I'm kind of in for the next Suicide Squad.
Oh well, I mean, the director alone makes that exciting to see.
Yeah, I was gonna say James Gunn at the helm kind of makes that an instant watch for me anyway.
Yeah.
And then the first Suicide Squad was a lot of fun right up until like the third act.
Yeah,
like the putting the team together part was fun. It was fun. Yeah. It was a good movie.
I stand by this. If they just make Attack on Gotham, Attack on Arkham, if they just make that Assault on Arkham or Arkham, gosh, I can't talk tonight. If they just make Assault on Arkham, which is the Joker has taken over Arkham Asylum and Amanda Waller sends the Suicide Squad in to get him, that should have been the movie. Because
by the way,
the reason why she sends him in to get him is because he's kidnapped her. Like, and that's part of it the whole time. Like, it's awesome. It's a lot of fun. But making Enchantress this CGI dancing idiot, and I felt bad for Cara Delevingne or whatever her name is, because like they just kind of made a mockery of her in that role.
And also, it was just such a weak. I mean, yes, it was a bad portrayal of the villain, but it was also just okay. So there's a tornado of garbage. Like that's the big weapon here. That's what we're. Okay, I guess.
Yeah.
Like, that's what we're all scared of? The garbage tornado? Seems like you could have done more with that. You know, like, it was just one of those things where I'm watching it, I'm like, oh, there's really going to be nothing more than this. This is just it. This is the big bad. Oh, that's supremely disappointing. Okay.
I kept
waiting for the setup, like, oh, it actually isn't Enchantress. It's whoever is controlling Enchantress. And that's the, you know, like, I kept waiting for that part to come up, and it never did. And it was just like, oh, this movie's got 10 more minutes left. Oh, no. Oh, okay. This is going to be how this ends.
And it's the same thing with, like I don't hate Jared Leto's Joker. I hate that we got so little time with it. With him that we don't really know what his Joker is.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I kind of just wish that we would have had more time with him. Now, it may not have been good.
But his motivations in that movie were the part that rubbed me the wrong way, because, like, the Joker wouldn't be doing all that to get Harley Quinn back because he, quote-unquote, missed her. He'd be doing that because he'd be so offended someone else took her.
Yes.
Like, 100%. You know, that's his property. And he would be so insulted by the fact that someone else thinks they could have his property that he would be enacting his revenge that way. Like, it wouldn't be because, oh, I actually really love Harley. No, come on, no. that's not the Joker in any fashion or at all. So it just,
I agree. Yeah,
that's the part that rubbed me the wrong way on that. But the, okay, well, as far as that goes, we can shift gears from one, comic book universe to another, and Crystal Dynamics, the roundly mocked Avengers game that they have coming out, just because, man, those character models, jeez. But anyway, the at New York City Comic Con this week, they revealed some more information about the game that Kamala Khan, aka Miss Marvel, will be a playable character in this game. And not only that, she appears to be a major character in the game. And it brings up a couple big points. Now, not only is she the first Muslim character that they had as a superhero, but she's a younger character, female, obviously. And it brings into play, as far as the nerd side of me, that she gets exposed to Terrigen Mists, which makes her like an Inhuman. You know, that's how the Inhumans got their powers, when they get exposed to the Terrigen Mists. And my understanding was Marvel was moving all away from that, because they got the rights to the X-Men back, and so mutants were coming back, and they didn't need Inhumans anymore as, like, mutant stand-ins. So I think it's kind of interesting to see how they roll with both of them, in a sense. What was your reaction to this, Shannon?
You know, it at first I was more disappointed, just because, you know, when you hear the Avengers, you know, I think just with all the movies and the cinematic universe, like, you have in your head, like, the roster that you want to play, or the people that you want to play. So I could understand, like, how people could feel that this is, you know, how it could confuse people. It can make them feel even worse about the game. But I am, now that I've had more time to digest it and be, you know, had some time to think about it some more, and actually seen the demo, like, some of the gameplay footage where she's actually in use, she seems very versatile. She seems, like, her skill sets and her, her move sets seem to be pretty, pretty good for, like, brawling, the type of game that they're trying to create. It's a good palate cleanser. It's, you know, it's a character that not a lot of people have exposure to. And if you're trying to broaden your base, especially if you're trying to get, like, younger women and girls, like, excited about comic books, I think this is a great character to have, you know, in your video game. I mean, it's, and to make it a focal point, you know, it's, it gives you a more refreshing storyline. It gives you something unique, something that people, you know, typically might not have a lot of expertise in. Like, I don't know much about Miss Marvel, so, like, yeah, go ahead and, like, you know, put her in a video game. Let me play with this character. Let me find out what the storyline entails, and have fun with it. I mean, it's a way to change the optics of the game. You know, like, everybody was so down on this game and after that first E3 trailer, and I think this is a good way to switch up the gears and get people excited about this video game again. Like, yeah, the Avengers are in it, but, and, you know, there are other characters that you're going to play, but the storyline's not revolving around the ones that you've already been beaten to death with for, like, the last 10 years.
Totally.
Like, it's got, you know, new legs on it. So I'm all for it. Like, I like it. I want to see where it goes. It's got me back on board with buying this game. Well, you know, it's piqued my interest.
You know, kind of playing off what you just said, I think it speaks to reiterating what you were saying. I think it belays the fear that it's just going to be a lot more of the same with different looking characters, because Ms. Marvel, if you don't know, she's basically a lot like Mr. Fantastic. She's got a big stretching ability, but she also can like triple her size or quadruple her size and stuff like that. And in the gameplay, they showed, you know, her combat, where her arms and legs will stretch out, hands get real big, that type of thing. The characters on screen react to her being, you know, way bigger than them. And so there's a good amount of character modeling in there, but it also, I think, opens the door for them to pull if you don't know comics, like 60-100 characters have been Avengers at one point or another. You know, like a lot. There's been a lot of Avengers over the lifetime of the team, and I look at this now as, okay, the movie lineup isn't now the static lineup of Avengers. Like, this cracks the door open to pull in, you know, all these characters, Wonder Man, and characters that have been huge pieces along the way for the team. And it allows them to pull them into the story and see what develops. And maybe we get a actual good standalone story out of this, which, you know, before this character introduction, I wasn't feeling at all. I really didn't think we were going to have a chance. Now, I will say, watching the trailer, man, that Tony Stark is just rough. It's just hard seeing that thing and being like, yep, that's Tony Stark. I'm sorry. It's weird. I can't separate. And it's not like the Tony Stark in the comic books looks like Robert Downey Jr. And I know that, but it's weird seeing it moving and talking on screen and being like, it's just not Tony Stark. I don't know. Robbie, do you have thoughts on this?
I went from being just overly excited, you know, joyful for the concept of this game, to just I nothing has really made me what they've shown has not made me excited about playing it. And I don't know what's going to change that. I really don't. And it may just be the state of mind that I'm in. Mm-hmm. Like it may just I mean, it took me a freaking month to beat, you know, an 8 to 10 hour game in Control. So like just the E3 trailer just put such a bad taste in my mouth. Mm-hmm. That I need to see like one of those like 20 minute gameplay videos. Like that's what I need to see before I'm going to get behind this again. Because like you said, like the Tony Stark is just so bad. I think even the Captain America is bad. Like I don't know who approved these character designs. Like
yeah, Bruce Banner is pretty bad.
Yeah. And the thing is, it's freaking Square Enix. Crystal Dynamics, like how do you make an ugly characters? Mm-hmm. Like when we just got through seeing three incredible looking Tomb Raider games, I don't know. I don't want to bash it because I'm just more hesitant now than I am excited.
And I think that it's not that they're, you know, butt ugly character designs or whatever, but it's just they're so far removed from what everyone knows as these characters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That it's so jarring. You cannot separate it. You just can't separate the two, you know, and I don't know how they fix that as a company without just doing that, without making them look like the ones everyone knows. So it'll be interesting to see, but I think pulling in characters that aren't from the movies is a very smart start.
Yes.
And I think that leaning into what the story could be is also very smart. Because like I was saying, if they're still got Terrigen Mist when everyone knows that Marvel is moving away from the whole Inhuman Terrigen Mist thing because they got the mutants back in the fold, I want to see how they resolve mutants and Terrigen Mist in the same universe.
Well, so, maybe that's just the that goes to show you how long this game's been in development, right?
True.
Like, I mean,
true.
It's kind of hard to change the storyline once you got it paved out, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I've already said the easiest way for them to bring mutants in is the use of the Infinity Gauntlet sent surges of energy around the world that no one had ever seen before, and it changed the genetics of people. Like, yeah. Boom, just like that movie Thank You for Smoking, and how easily they say you can fix something in a movie that doesn't logically work with one line of dialogue. Just one line of dialogue fixes everything.
Yep. All it takes is Bruce Banner leaning over a console going like, man, we haven't seen energy readings like this ever. They could change things on a genetic scale. There it is. There it is. Mutants. It's here. All right. Okay. Moving on. One last bit of news that just got announced that no one here is really going to care about at all because me and Shannon don't play on PC and Robbie didn't like the game is Red Dead Redemption 2 is coming for PC like next month, which was kind of dropped out of nowhere. You know, it's a pretty huge game and Rockstar has had pretty good PC ports. So if you're into that sort of thing, congrats. Red Dead Redemption 2 heading your way. I did not like that game, but hey, that's just me. Okay, so why don't we hit into, we're keeping a tight ship tonight, so we're going to move into what we have been playing, and Robbie did beat Control, so lay it on me, man.
Okay, the physics in that game are incredible. Mm-hmm. The gameplay is why you want to play that game, because the story does not stick the landing, and it's just kind of weird and dumb at the end. So
that's a total bummer.
Yeah, it was. Like I reposted this on my Facebook wall and I said it like 2 years ago and I stand by this. Ambiguity sometimes can be a great thing for a film or for a game, for its narrative. But other times it can come across as it can be used because of laziness or not knowing how you want to finish your product. And that's what it feels like here. I think it's the latter, actually. I think it's they just didn't know how to tie it in a bow, so they were ambiguous with the ending. But again, the gameplay, the lore, kind of the stuff, the FMV video stuff, all that is really well worth it. And the side story, the side quest, which I did not realize until there was like 2 or 3 hours left in the game what the side quests were. And that was my fault because I was just like, okay, I just want to beat the game. Oh, you got like some side quest, side mission or side hunt thing to do. No, I'm not going to do that. I just want to go play the game. But then I did one and I was like, holy crap, like this is actually better than the main story. And that continuously like seemed to be the case is that the side stories seem to be better. And what it's kind of like The Witcher 3.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I don't know if you remember that, but that seemed to happen a lot.
I would argue there's 3 or 4 side quests in Witcher 3 that are better than the main game.
Yeah.
Specifically
the Baron.
Oh yeah, the Bloody Baron. But also the side quests in Witcher 3 are like 3 hours each. So
yeah. So I really do recommend the game because what they do with telekinesis and what they do with the physics in the game, and still, like I said, to be able to throw an object, make papers fly in the air, and then draw to you another object, and the force of the object coming to you, making the papers move in midair, is just something to behold, because it's just not something you expect to happen in a video game.
Mm-hmm. Now, Robbie, the one thing I wanted to ask you after yes. listening to the show last week is, like, how are the controls? Are they
easy?
Okay, so, I mean, is it like a typical, like third-person over-the-shoulder, like, shooter mechanics? Or is it something totally different? Is it...
Hold on, I'm putting the controller in my hand right now. Triangle is one ability, which is, like, punch. Like, you use it like a force punch. Mm-hmm. Circle is how you do this, like, telekinetic, oh, my gosh. How do I say this? Like, you force yourself across the room, mm-hmm. like a just like that kind of move. I don't know why I can't think of that move. And then you use L1 and R1 to lock onto the item that you want. And I apologize. R1 to like you automatically the game automatically lets you select. You don't have to press anything. You don't have to dial anything. The camera automatically shows you what you can grab right in front of you at all times, and it doesn't get in the way. It's not daunting or anything like that or distracting. And then you just press R1 to bring it to you, and you just let go of it when you want to throw it.
Okay.
Like and it's I mean it was super easy for me. Like I thought it was easy. As far as the controls. Now, feeling like you know what the hell you're doing though. Like that, mm-hmm. that I won't lie. That took me a few hours into the game, about 3 or 4 hours in the game, for me to feel comfortable with everything, to know what I was doing.
Okay. All right. Well, that answers the only question I had outlying about that game.
Okay. Cool.
It's a bummer that didn't stick the landing though.
Like, yeah, I was bummed. I was really hoping it would.
Gears 5 though. That game gets that story. Gears. That story works. I'm excited for you to finish that game because I want to talk about it. We should do a spoiler cast when we're done with it. I'm
totally down because this is the first – legitimately, this is the first Gears game that made me feel something.
Right.
Like I legitimately had an emotional response. Like I didn't cry or anything, but I felt the pain of a character when something happens.
Like, well, and especially how it happens too. It's like
yes,
because I know where you're at in the game, so I know what part you have to be talking about. And it's like, oh man, when that goes down, and it's like, oh, and how it goes down.
Yeah. Oof,
oof.
But
yeah, there is a twist coming up that you do not see. I will tell you that you do not see this twist coming, and it's good. It's real good when it hits. But we will definitely, we've been talking about Gears for a while, so we won't go into that. All I will say is, Shannon, hook up your damn Xbox and play Gears, because you got to get in this action.
Yeah, quit being a punk, nice. Man.
It's good. It's real good. All right. But Shannon, what have you been playing? You were gone last week, so what you been going through?
Borderlands is still the game that I'm going to murder things, and I'm enjoying that.
All right, Joaquin, man. Calm down there.
Apple Arcade is really blowing my mind. I didn't think I was going to be a big fan of that. I didn't think that mobile gaming had much of a spot in my daily routine, but just the no in-app purchases makes such a huge difference on the quality of the game itself. There's a game on there. It's a role-playing game. It's called Cat Quest 2. On the top, you're just like, whatever, this is a stupid-ass role-playing game. The first one was, of course, outside of Apple Arcade. It was, it had in-app purchases. It was crazy. They got these guys to do one and actually put it in the arcade scheme, and you could see where the mechanics for pay-to-win would be all over the place in this game, whether it be forging the armor or upgrading your armor or getting new pieces of equipment. But because they've integrated into this, every time you pick up the same armor, that armor gets a stat increase if you already have it. So it makes things so easy. You don't have to go back and upgrade every piece of armor. You can just go around and do the dungeons and get the armor and then get your stuff upgraded without even having to go back to a town if you don't want to. The only time you would really go back is to upgrade a sword or maybe get your magic spells. But money is everywhere. It's just a blast to play. And you can sit there and you can focus on actually playing the game instead of grinding to get the in-game currency to upgrade your weapon so you could go out and do one more level. It takes all of the monotony out of it, and it lets you focus more on enjoying the game itself. That was actually the first game I beat. And when I looked down at how much time I probably put into that game, or thinking about when I got it and how much time I put into it, I probably put close to 10, 11 hours into that game, which I can't really say consistently I've done on an Apple game in a while. I did give What the Golf a try, and I did like it, but man, that game gets hard.
Yeah, that game gets real hard, especially if you want all three stars. Yeah. That game gets brutal. But I will say I love how clever it is. There's Angry Bird levels. There's Flappy Bird levels. There's Super Hot levels, which are really, really rad. I want a whole game of just the Super Hot levels. I would play that. It was so fun. And then the Portal levels, when your ball changes into a companion cube, I thought was pretty cool. It's super clever, but goddamn, that game gets rough.
And then
it gets so hard it stops being fun. That's the line they cross. About the 3 hour mark into that game, it gets hard enough where it's not fun anymore, and it's that's just a bummer because I just stopped playing it. It's really all
I pretty much uninstalled it from my phone at that point. But the one that's still a challenge, but is still getting me, is a Card of Darkness. I don't know if you've had a chance to play it yet, but it's it's a card based grid game. So you start out at the bottom of this row. There's five rows, and it's probably a 5x5 grid or 5x6 grid. So you have these cards that stack up on the bottom. And you start out with no weapon, it's just a bare hand. So if you attack a monster, you're taking all that damage. You have a set amount of hit points. So in the beginning, you can pick up swords. There's tchotchkes that you can pick up that'll help you. So either swords, or there's treasure, or there's daggers. Each weapon does a different thing. They each have their own stats and bonuses and disadvantages. But the trick is, if you tap on a pile, you have to clear that pile, the cards that are in that pile. And you have to navigate your way to the top of the grid where there's a stairwell or a card. And you basically have to – that's how you clear the dungeon, is you get to the stairwell. But you have to be able to clear all of the piles that you touch. So you have to strategically kind of think about how you want to maneuver around this puzzle to get up to the stairwell, and it sometimes can get rather, it's always a challenge. You always feel like you kind of messed up somewhere. Like you either didn't pick the right pile or you strategically maneuvered yourself around the cards the wrong way. Like there's always something there that gets you to be like, oh, okay, I could try this again. It's not like you're spending 15 minutes on a level and you screw up and you're like, well, I got to do that all over again. It's usually like, you know, a minute to kind of get through things. So like if you kind of, you know, mess up, it's on you. So I've been playing that. That's been my new go-to. And yeah, dude, that game, it's hard. Like there are some levels where I'm just like, what the hell? Like what's going on here? And, you know, when I figure it out, you get that aha moment. Like, you know, when you're doing the Konami pixel puzzle, it's kind of like that same feeling, but you know,
all right, I'm listening.
Yeah, yeah. I would give it a try. Like, I mean, it's definitely okay. It's definitely more in like the strategy department than it is like an action department. I think you'll like it a lot.
Cool. I will check it out.
That's what I've been playing this week.
All right. Well, sounds good. I basically just got my way through Gears and did some What the Golf. Obviously 2019's Game of the Year, Ori on the Switch. It's it's single-handedly making me kind of take back my let's stop celebrating old games on the Switch takes that I'm known for. Because it's a beautiful port. It really is. It plays really well. Handheld is that game on handheld works perfectly, and it makes me want to play more of those type of games like Song of the Deep or something on it. But it's Ori. It's a game we all know, and it's still really, really good. So if you like Ori or haven't played it yet and have yourself a Switch, go ahead and pick that one up. It's $20. Totally worth the money.
Rock yeah, solid. I need to get that. I'm going to get that right after we finish recording.
Yep. It's really good. Actually, you never played Ori, huh?
Uh-uh.
Oh, man. Have some tissues ready. That story.
Oh, yeah? Oh, boy.
Even Robbie will tell you that story.
Yeah.
That story, yes. That story's got the feels, as the kids say.
All full of feels.
Yep.
Son, I'm a super squishy. I'm going to cry like a baby. I know it.
So, as far as shows and movies, me and Shannon are both convinced that the Jaguar is Seal in The Masked Singer. you got me in trouble with that one because we were watching it. See, I work when it's on, so we were watching it when I got home, and I had said, like, oh, we were watching it. I'm like, that's totally Seal. Like, listen to the voice. Like, it's 100% Seal. And Steph's like, I don't know. And then apparently she got on Facebook where you had posted that it was Seal. And she's like, are you just reading Shannon's post? I'm like, no.
But yes. My bad. I'm sorry. I can't help it. I'll delay my text message or my Facebook post a little bit longer. But no, man, I love that show. Like, Robbie, you got to at least give it a try. Just record it and just fast forward through the judges' things. Just like.
I watched the first three episodes last season, but I just – that's just not – those shows like that have never been at least in my thing. Like we'll watch like clips, you know, of the shows, like, you know, really good performance. Like we'll watch clips of it, but sitting down and watching an entire hour of a show like that, like we just don't – I just don't really have a lot of interest.
Now, I get it. Now, did I nail – so you listened to last week's show. Did I nail why it's interesting though?
Yes, like,
It's not the show. It's the speculation you have with the people in the room while you're watching the show is what makes it fun. Yeah. The show's actually kind of trash, like when you really look at it. But the arguing back and forth with whoever you're watching it with is what makes it a fun experience.
Yeah. So. I just feel bad for the people who spend like 80 hours putting a costume together and then somebody gets voted off like day one. And right. it's like, you're like, well, thanks. I just put all that effort into your costume and you couldn't even last longer than an episode.
No one put a lot of effort into a panda costume. I mean, come on.
The egg
did have some effort on it. I will give the egg that, like, especially with the hat and all that. I mean, it was good, but the panda.
Yeah, and like I think the other thing that I don't like about The Masked Singer is now that it's popular, you're not getting people that don't know how to sing on there. Like, I mean, last season you had like Tommy Chong and like you had like people that just went out there and you're just like, yeah, screw it, I'll try this. Like, who cares? Like, I'm in a mask. But now it's so popular. Like, I don't think I've really heard that many people that have been on the show that have sung that haven't been like decent, you know?
Well, and I think it also ruins it when, yeah, Layla Ali is not going to win a singing competition. Like, it shouldn't, like, the judging shouldn't be about the singing. It should be about the performance, you know? Mm-hmm. But yeah, I don't know. Like I said, yeah. the show's trash. It's just fun to watch with other people. That is really all it is. Anyone else watch anything this week that I want to talk about? We talked Joker. I am starting The Boys. I've had enough people yell at me about that.
That's so good.
You know what it's... it is? I've been hesitant because I love the comic so much, and so I don't kind of want it ruined, you know. But
from what I understand, there are changes that are made, mm-hmm. but people that I've spoken to who read the comic and watched the show were not upset about the changes. Like,
to be fair, I'm usually a person that is like, the book is the book, the movie's the movie, game is the game. They're all separate things. But I don't know. I really, really love that comic, and so it's like I'm scared. Kind of like how what happened with American Gods, where that's like one of my all-time favorite books, and I was so stoked for that show, and like 4 episodes in, I stopped watching and have never watched another one because I just couldn't take it, like the changes they
made. You and I went through, we took that journey together.
Yeah.
And we were both just like visually stunning. Aesthetically, looks mm-hmm. incredible, but dear heavens.
Yeah, that was
how could you butcher such a great work? Like, it doesn't matter.
It was all there. Like, just the script's already written. Just follow it. It's great.
Can I just tell you, it's really hard for me to watch those shows because currently the only way I can do that is to watch it with my parents. But even as a 40-year-old man, like, I can't watch like a sex scene with my parents still. It's still really awkward and uncomfortable. Like, I just, can't do that.
No, there's definitely some scenes then that I would not recommend watching in front of your parents.
Especially in American Gods. Yeah.
And I will say this for Boys, The Boys. There are some visually striking moments that remind me of American Gods. I don't mean that in a bad way, but just the way it's filmed. Okay. And that kind of like, it's so hard for me to describe it, but it's almost like sometimes in American Gods and this and The Boys, like it's when there's something, a fight or something mm-hmm. going on, it's almost like they've got an aura around them. Like there's some kind of light texture going on around them that I don't understand where it's coming from. Like, I don't know. I'm nuts. I may just be seeing things. But like for American Gods, like certain sequences, I would have thought like I thought Shadow and the Irish dude. Like I swore.
The leprechaun.
The leprechaun. I could have swore like there was just this metallic aura around them that was just gleaming. I don't know. It was weird. Anyway, we can keep going. I don't know why I just got down that rabbit hole. Sorry.
No problem. Oh, I mean, that's kind of where we're at. Like, we don't really have much else to go over this week, I don't think. Unless someone else got something. Isn't something big coming out, like, next week? As my son screams in the background. Hold on one sec. Let's talk amongst yourselves for a second.
I don't think Modern Warfare comes out. Modern Warfare doesn't come out until the 25th.
Isn't it Outer Worlds, though? Doesn't Outer Worlds come out?
I don't know. I was looking at new releases before we got on. I didn't see anything. The only thing I know is Grid is coming out this Friday if you guys are interested in a good racer. But yeah, I can't think of anything else. Let me see. What is it? Outer Worlds? It's not Outer Wilds, right? I always get those two mixed up.
I do too. I could be speaking wrong.
October 25th, Outer Worlds.
Okay. Well, then, I guess we're still a week away, then.
What comes out this week that I might take a look at, simply because it's a discount one, is they made another ukulele. Actually, Josh brought this to my attention on Twitter, and I was like, that first one was kind of suck, so I'm cool off that. But apparently this one is like a 2.5D side scroller, kind of in the Donkey Kong Country mold.
Yeah.
And I was looking up some videos of it, and it's going to be in that sub $30 range when it releases. And I'm like, I could kind of get on board with that. Like, that's something I could see my kids playing, you know,
yeah.
or sitting with me while I play. So
I don't have anything to say other than I started Greedfall, and
I didn't know that game was up.
Yeah, it came out, and it is making very good early impressions. It is straight up the Dragon Age Origins type thing that I wanted. I don't mean the combat. The combat's great. The combat is fluid in third person action. But what I mean is just like creating a character, being a mage, you know, making choices in your dialogue, like stuff like that. Like, I'm all about that life. So
nice.
But yeah, that's all I got, man.
Oh, you know what game comes out in 2 weeks that I am super in for, and I don't know if you guys care about this at all, is Return of the Obra Dinn hits console on October 18th.
I'm doing the what now?
Return of the Obra Dinn, where a ship arrives at port, and you play an insurance adjuster trying to figure out where everyone went. Awesome. Everyone's gone, and there's just corpses and chaos, and you're trying to piece it all together. And for everything, like, this was on Giant Bomb's Game of the Year, all over that, because it was on PC last year, but I don't have a PC to play that. And it everything about it screams Zach would love this game. And and so to hear it's coming on consoles, PS4, Switch, and Xbox One, all October 18th, I couldn't be more excited. I really, really want to play that game. So, nice.
And then the week after that, you got The Outer Worlds, and you got, Modern Warfare? So you're going to be broke.
I can't believe they got me back in on Modern Warfare.
Dude, I am so on board. Like, we need to play some like Spec Ops mode together.
Yeah, yeah. That was the last nail in the coffin for me buying that damn game, was when I heard they're doing Spec Ops. I was like, fuck, they're taking my money. God.
I didn't even know about that. And I was listening to the show you guys recorded last week, and then I was just like, oh, dude, just take my money right now.
Right.
Like, yeah. I guess so.
It's like those crafty sons of bitches. They figured it out. They figured out how to get me. Like, yep. Man.
It's like that Dish TV show, like where like the guy's like, "Where'd my Fox football go?" And they're like, "Yeah, cable took it." And then like his wife is gone. It's the same way. It's like Modern Warfare is like taking my wallet. It's taking my other games just to make sure I have it. Yeah, exactly. It's gonna happen.
Right.
Damn it.
All right. Well, I guess that is our show for this evening. We aimed to keep it nice and tight, and we have it succeeded in such. So please give us a follow, if you would, on our Facebook group. That is facebook.com/thatpixellife. You can get at us on Twitter if you'd like. That is at thatpixellife, and you can find all of us there. We have anything else to say or add or...
No, I'm good, man. I'm ready to have a great week. I hope y'all all have great weeks.
Yeah, I mean, hey, Raiders are 3-2 and heading into the bye week. I've got a great 2 weeks. Can't lose next week, so good.
I lost a bet, and I gotta wear a freaking Golden Knights jersey.
Oh,
that's gonna suck.
Yeah, strap in. Sharks are in for a long season. Be ready to wear that one. So it's going to be good. So on that pleasant note, I will remind you and everyone out there to do what my co-host reminds all of us every day and be great.
Bye.